It eases stress and it strengthens your muscles. While stretching causes immediate pain, it increases indefinite productivity. I think you missed me right here. I said while stretching causes immediate pain, the truth is if you take the pain early, you'll be productive later. I submit to you tonight, humbly, that 2017 was designed by God to stretch you. That God was preparing you by stretching you. I just got a text message, because you can't put new wine, there it is, into old bottles, else the bottle will break and the wine will perish. So what God does is after you pray, he stretches you so you have the capacity to receive what you pray for. What if I told you that when you stretch, God will ease your stress? I want to preach to somebody who suffers through anxiety, through depression, through loneliness, and tell you that what stretching does is it eases your stress. God said the reason why I let you go through what you went through this year is because I was trying to teach you how to differentiate between reacting and responding. When you react, your situation's in control. But when you respond, that means you're in control. God was stretching you this year because he was strengthening you. What if I told you that all the hell you went through this year, it was necessary? Come here, Jesus. He said, it was good for me that I was afflicted because I learned your statutes. God sometimes will allow you to go through some stuff to show you that you can take a licking and keep on taking. I know I'm early in the intro, touch your neighbor so they can feel what a miracle feels like. Go ahead and tell them this is what a miracle feels like. I shouldn't even be here. What I went through in March should have took me out. What I went through this summer when you didn't see me, that should have took me out. But the fact that I'm here tonight is a praise all by itself. 2017 has stretched us in multiple ways. It has stretched us politically. You remember in January, your president, President Donald Trump, was inaugurated in office. Your president Donald Trump has incited and instigated with everybody, the media, and he's picked on the wrong person and has us on the brink of war with, the brink of thermonuclear war, rather, with North Korea. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 6, that, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Our churches have been riddled and experienced so much racial tension. It's in our church, it's in our country. Bright, beautiful Colin Kaepernick, in the prime of his career, has decided that his message is more important than his money. He sacrifices his earning potential, doesn't get picked up by a team, but he's more concerned about his legacy. I find it ironic that people critique his protests, but don't critique the behavior and the systemic injustice that causes him to protest. The veil, I gotta move fast, the veil of misogyny that has covered the United States of America has been lifted as everybody's gotten called out this year. Women have said, I'm not gonna take being second best, and I'm not gonna be take being groped and touched inappropriately, and I don't have to sleep with nobody to make it to the top. I don't care who you are. Shout out to all the women who got their voice back. I wish you would high-five a sister next to you and say, me too. Me too. Terrorist attacks have popped up all over the world, not to mention Las Vegas, not to mention Manchester, England, not to mention, imagine what it felt like to be a part of the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas, and then walk into worship and literally watch multiple people die. Imagine what it would be like to be a pastor preaching, and when you get back in the car to go home, your 14-year-old daughter is going in an ambulance to the coroner. That has happened this year. Imagine what it could have been like for Hurricane Harvey to come through Houston and nearly 90 deaths, not to mention upwards of $198 billion of devastation. And immediately on the heels of Harvey, you get Hurricane Irma. The Bible says in Luke chapter 21, verse number 25, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. I know you came to shout. I came to give you a word tonight. And on the earth, distresses of nation with perplexity, watch me, the sea and the waves roaring. What do you do when CNN is literally copying from the Bible? While the world has been mesmerized by the meteoric rise of rap star Cardi B. I don't dance now. I make. Okay, you was in the money moves. You get distracted because you didn't realize that while Cardi was making money moves, the devil was making eschatological moves. That Apple now has a phone where you literally put it up to your face. Yeah. And as you look at the phone in your face, it recognizes you. You didn't realize while you were watching Love and Hip Hop that the first robot in Saudi Arabia gained citizenship. You missed me. I said the first robot in Saudi Arabia gained citizenship. That Bitcoin is getting us increasingly closer to a cashless society. Despite its recent drop in their stock in Wisconsin, a technology company named 3Square, they literally microchipped 41 of their 85 employees, so now they don't have to unlock doors. They literally scan their hand and they're gained access. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 13, verse number 16, he, the Antichrist, causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or their foreheads, and that no man can buy or sell except he has the mark, and here is his number, 666. Pastor Chris, please tell me you're not going to leave me out there in the middle of the new year. I thought you were going to shout me and tell me I was going to get a house. I thought you was going to shout me and tell me that 2018 is my year. I thought you were going to shout me and tell me promotion is coming. I thought you were going to shout me and tell me that that my money and my credit are going to another level. No, I came to tell you that Jesus Christ is coming back soon. I know I just lost all my millennials right through here, but there used to be some old folks on watch night who would say, Lord, at any moment you can come back to crack the sky. And if I never get a house, help me. If I never get a car, if I never get a boo, as long as I hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servant, that's going to be enough for me. Here's your mantra for 2018. It's in John chapter 9, verse number 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Y'all miss me. I got to do what I got to do right now. I got to get it while the getting is good, because when the night comes, no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. If you're not too mean, high five somebody and say, light it up, baby. Light it up. There's a ministry inside of you. Light it up. There's a gift inside of you. Light it up. There's a church inside of you. Light it up. God says, I'm about to send the greatest revival in the midst of the craziest disaster. God says there's about to be a revival that ain't going to be contained by a denomination. There's about to be a revival that's not going to be limited by a church name. There's going to be a revival that's not going to be contained by a generation. But in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Your young men are going to see visions. And your old men are going to dream dreams. Push somebody and say, I'm ready for revival. That's the wrong person. You ain't ready for nothing. Do I have 50 hungry people who are desperate tonight to say, God, I'm ready for revival? I want my whole family to be saved. I want my cousin to be saved. I want my mama to be saved. I want every generational curse to be broken in my life. If you're not too mean, tell somebody I'm ready for revival. As we approach the pericope of this Philippian passage, we'll discover that the text is written by the talented tent maker from Tarsus, a cold brother by the name of Paul. Paul is next level. He takes three missionary journeys, and while on his second missionary journey, realize that Philippians didn't drop in Philippians, it actually dropped in Acts chapter 15. In Acts chapter 15, the Bible says in verse number 36 that after some time, said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit each city where we previously preached the word of God to see how the new believers are doing. Barnabas agreed and wanted to take John Mark, but Paul disagreed strongly, since John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. In other words, Barnabas is saying, let's go back and get homie John Mark. Paul said, I ain't feeling John Mark because he deserted us. He said, we can't mess with him. You can do ministry for people who don't have the same drive as you, but you can't do ministry with people who don't have the same drive as you. God suggest to you tonight that in 2018, the first thing God's going to change after he changes you is he's going to change your circle. I need a circle filled with people who are as driven as I am. I need some folks who are hungry as I am. I need a team that don't bring problems, but they bring solutions. I need some people who know we don't compete, but we complement each other. Can I talk to you tonight? Separation has to happen. Look at somebody, tell them, cut them off. Cut them off. That's the wrong name to say. You got 31 minutes to go through your phone and delete everybody who ain't assigned to the rest of your life. The devil is a lie. You ain't gonna beg for nobody to stay. You ain't gonna beg for nobody to stay. If they threaten to leave, help them pack their bag. And tell them, let the door hit you. Help me tonight. I'm trying to be a scholar. Watch me. But Barnabas ain't bad. Y'all miss that. A sloppy preacher would shout you right there. But Barnabas ain't bad. He's not a bad person. It just means his part in the story is over. Y'all miss that? I said Barnabas is not a bad person. When people walk out of your life, don't demonize them. No, thank them for the time that they spent in your life, but let them know your season's up. Y'all ain't gonna help me tonight. The Bible says, ain't nobody gonna shout right here, love your enemies. It says, bless them that curse you. It says, do good to them that hate you and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Look at your neighbor and say, forgive them and let it go. Y'all ain't talking to nobody. I said, look at your neighbor and say, forgive them and let them go. Stop posting about it and let it go. Stop being passive aggressive and let it go. Stop being petty and let it go. If they don't apologize, forgive them anyway and let it go. I wish you would give God a praise that says, I'm letting some stuff go. Yeah. Everybody who talked about you, everybody who lied on you, everybody who mishandled you, everybody who you gave too much too soon to, you need to open up your mouth and say, let them go. Let them go. Your hands ain't big enough to hold your past and your future. You missed me. You gotta tweet that. I said your hands ain't big enough to hold your past and your future. You gonna have to forget one of them and reach for the other one. The Bible says that when Barnabas walked out, here's my shout, when Barnabas walked out, Silas walked in. Y'all miss me. I wish you would stop crying over who left you and give God a shout of who's walking in. Is there anybody in this house who will interrupt my cute little message and give God a praise for everybody who walked in? Look at your neighbor and say, God's about to send Silas. Let's go home, neighbor. Tell them God's about to send your Silas. The Bible says in Acts chapter 16, I apologize, I'm old school. Me and Bishop, we use our Bible to preach. I know new school preachers, they fly, they don't even need the Bible. I need my Bible. In Acts chapter 16, verse number 16, it says, one day, they're going down to the place of prayer, and they met a slave girl who had a spirit, King James, a spirit of divination. Mm-hmm. And she earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. But she's walking up behind Paul and Silas and says, these men are servants of the Most High God. Watch me. She ain't saying the wrong thing, but she got the wrong spirit. God says in 2018, I'm about to give you x-ray vision. I'm going to let you see in the dark. I'm going to let you see behind the person. I'm going to let you deal with the spirit. Y'all miss me. I just got a text message. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Look at your neighbor and say, stop talking to the person. And learn how to speak to the spirit. The Bible says, I said, stop talking to the person and speak to the spirit. When you get home, don't talk to your kids. Talk to the spirit. Say, I put something in you. And train up a child in the way that they go. And when they're old, you not going to depart from it. Talk to the spirit of your own girl and say, you can't sleep with him. You got destiny on the inside of you. You got greatness on the side of you. And you prophesy to somebody and speak into their life and say, you're more than a conqueror. That is in you than he that's in the world. You're too gifted to be depressed. You're too anointed to sit there and be cheap. There's a gift on the inside of you, and you gotta reach out and stretch. The Bible says that after they realized they couldn't make money off of this woman, they took Paul and Silas and they put them into to a prison. Can I tell you that the devil miscalculated? The devil miscalculated. The devil, he took their clothes, but he couldn't take their praise. I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight, but I want to preach to about 300 survivors in this house who lost some stuff this year. But even though you lost your house and lost your car, and even though you lost some friends and lost your peace of mind, the one thing you still got is your praise. The reason why your neighbor keeps standing up and sitting back down and waving their hand is because you don't know all the hell that he went through to get to you. You don't know that if you don't take the brakes off of him, they're going to put a whole world up right now. Because when I think, I got to move my house. Raise your hand and say, I still got my praise. That's the wrong neighbor. You talking to a spectator. I said, find a radical praiser and say, I still got my praise. After all that I've been through, I still have my praise. The second mistake that the devil made is that the devil locked them in a prison, but clearly the devil didn't get the memo that where the Spirit of the Lord is, help me, there is liberty. What if I told you that God can give you a good peace in a bad situation? Is there anybody who don't have all the money that you want, but you got all the peace you need? Anybody who ain't got a boo or a babe, but you got a friend that sticks closer than a brother? And the last mistake that the devil made was he should have put them in solitary confinement. Why in the world would you lock Paul and Silas up together? Didn't you read the word where it says where the two or three gathered together in his name, he'll be in the midst? I don't know who I'm preaching to, but look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, allow me to introduce myself. I tell him my name is Paul and your name is Silas. And we got to do something crazy tonight. Because the Bible says, and at midnight. Look at your neighbor and say, this is your last night being like this. This is your last night being this depressed. This is your last night. Y'all ain't talking to nobody. This is your last night being this broke. This is your last night being a slave to your past. The Bible says, and at midnight. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. Is there anybody in this house who will give God a midnight praise at 11:36? Loose. The Bible says that the Philippian jailer, that he wanted to kill himself. They said, no, don't kill yourself. He said, so what should I do? They baptized him and his whole family got saved. Y'all missed it. You thought you was in that trial for you. It wasn't even about you. It was about everybody who's connected to you. Because once they see you come out, then they don't come running saying, what must I do to be saved? I gotta leave y'all tonight. But the Bible says that when they was about to get dismissed, you gotta read it when you get home. Acts chapter 16, verse number 35. The Bible says the next morning the city officials sent the police to the jailer and they said, let these men go. So the jailer told Paul, the city officials said, you and Silas are free to leave, go in peace. Verse number 37, here's my shout. But Paul replied, they have publicly beaten us without a trial and put us in prison. And we are Roman citizens. So now you want us to leave secretly? Certainly not. Let them come and release us. When the police reported this, the city officials were alarmed to learn that Paul and Silas were Romans. So they came to the jail and apologized to them. Don't check me in public and then come, I'm sorry if I you. No, you know what you did. You got to fix it where you broke it. I came to tell you tonight, everybody who lied on you is going to have to see that no weapon formed against you is going to be able to prosper. And so begins of the Philippian church.